Asseyez-vous. As to our event, which we have been conducting now for many years, as you can see, this is a divinatory operation by way of the tarot cards, and we have had a lot of fun with this in the past. I would advise you, not to take it too seriously, and not to take it too lightly. The right attitude toward this sort of thing is sort of between one of superstitious awe, on the one hand, and of dismissive lightheartedness on the other. The truth is always somewhere in the middle. Divinations, as we know, have been in the world, as far as we know, probably ever since humanity has been here, and they have been found useful. At the same time, it is important to view the cards and interpret their meanings in as intuitive a way as possible. And therefore, it's a very good idea to stay away from, very concrete interpretations. I'll tell you what I mean. Like in our previous location, one January, we had the same program, and so somebody jumped up and started pointing at one of the figures there, or I don't know. A knight or a page, and said, this is Rush Limbaugh. And she kept it up. And she got me so annoyed that I did what I really never did before in a public meeting. I told her, I gave her the good old English sentence of shut up. So, you know, with sufficient provocation, this could happen to you. So be careful. I have with me, as we had now for many years, my kinsman and best friend, Charles Coulomb, whom we are so happy that he has been able to come with us again. He's a writer of many books, and he's all over the internet and all this sort of thing. But in this case, the important thing is not that he is there, but that he is here. And we thank him for that very greatly. So the way we usually proceed with this in more recent years, since we have our good and efficient friend Brian Campbell with us to do the projecting, Charles and I shuffle the cards here. In fact, I have been shuffling them out of sheer boredom for the last half an hour anyway. And then what we do, what is said, we cut the cards and reassemble them in a new order, and then we pull the first card of that, which is the covering card. And after that, Brian will just take them one by one as they have been shuffled and arranged for that purpose. And then we will interpret them as they appear on the screen. Give it a shuffle.
This is what's called the fast shuffle.
The fast shuffle, yeah.
Which we may all need to do depending on how the reading turns out. Would you like to cut, or shall I?
Yeah, cut into the three, and then I'll reassemble them in a new order. There we go. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, the cards have been shuffled and cut, and we will now turn...
Do you want us to say what the...
...the bottom of the deck and get the significator queen?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. And do you want to say anything about
yeah,
last
yeah,
we'll
get the, yeah. So the first queen that comes up in the deck. It's been such a long time that we did this, like about a year. Isn't that strange? And you can't do a New Year's reading in July or August. Mm-hmm. The queens are hiding. You know, the ladies are sort of little bit bashful here, but here is one. So the
Queen of Wands.
The Queen of Wands is the significator queen, and it has been shuffled, so we'll go from there.
One thing, if I may, I'd like to call your attention to, that was that the outcome card of the last reading was the Tower, which, of course, gave the implication that the very last portion of this past year would be a card of upset and great change. We know that didn't happen. So, it really, and you remember the year that we read them and came up with war for no particular reason? And that was 2001.
That was 2001. The last card was the Knight of Swords.
Yep.
And at the end of the year, while we were on the Queen Mary holding a conference, the plane started flying to Afghanistan. So there it was, yeah. We couldn't figure out why at the end. Yeah.
No, before 9/11, who could figure out that this country would be at war like that?
Of course.
So the signs were there. We said, what? That makes sense. Well, we found out. Anyway, let's give the magic wheel a whirl. All right. Do you want to say anything about the Celtic spread?
If I am not mistaken, we have the same significator queen as we had last year, the Queen of Wands.
Huh.
There she is.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, why don't we, there's not a lot to be said about the significator, except that she represents the country in this case. So
this, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, do you want to look at the covering card then?
Yeah. But by the way, this the method that we are using is one of the most common methods of tarot divination, and it's called the Celtic spread. I never could quite figure out how Celtic it is, it does, the central design does resemble a cross. Maybe a Celtic cross, if you want to imagine that, that's probably the reason for it. It consists of 10 cards, and each position has its own meaning, to which is added the meaning of the card, modified somewhat by the card before and the card after. So now, the next card that we put up, we say this covers the significator. And that is the card that...
it's the card, the magician.
The covering card tells you about the atmosphere surrounding the question.
That's right, yeah.
The issue going on at the moment. In other words, the atmosphere in the country.
Yeah. So that, let's say the Queen of Wands signifies the country. Since we don't have a card that has Lady Liberty on it, but we always choose a queen. And this, the covering card, as Charles just said, signifies the atmosphere that generally, throughout most of the year, characterizes the country and also characterizes the early part of the year, right after New Year, as you get going. And there we have a major arcanum, the magician.
It's not Rush Limbaugh, in case you're curious.
No, not at all. Let's say it doesn't take a very personal interpretation or a lot of imagination to say that a magician has to do with change, magic. So it would seem that an element of change, and not just sort of a change of trivialities, but what in a certain lingo we might call archetypal change, that is due to the fact that it is a major arcanum, is in the wind. And that is likely to go on and characterize with various modifications many of the events throughout the year.
I'd also, just to contrast it to the Tower, which is also a card of change, Yeah. That's a kind of violent, hysterical change, almost ungoverned and ungovernable.
Yeah.
This is change, all right, but it's guided change, change according to a plan. It's not just random acts of nothing in particular. So the atmosphere that in the country now is a change along a particular path. Which, what that path may be, we have yet to see.
In any event, that is the cover. So the next card that we will see, which is the card that crosses the covering card, is usually concerned with the contrary forces, the issues of adversity, which are likely to go against the grain, in this case maybe against the grain of the change, or against some of the basic movement of things in general, its influence is usually not of the nature that would destroy or stop what is going on, but it may slow it down. It may put the brakes on some things that are happening. So we shall see what the crossing card is at this time.
From the suit of swords, the Fool.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah. Well, that's quite understandable. You want to say something? I don't want to take away any steam that you may have built up.
You are obviously medieval neo-Gothicists are the enemies of this country. No. The Four of Swords is a card of repose, just as the picture showed. It's a card of all things at rest, a card of quiet, literally like the tomb. And I suspect then that what that means in this particular context is that the contrary influence is just that, deadness. What works against the interest of the country, the path of change, is dead weight. Is just hanging on to the past and being, and mind you, as anyone knows me will tell you, I love nostalgia, but there's too much of a good thing. And this, I would say that probably it reflects holding on to past attitudes, past ways, and not being willing to adjust to new realities.
Well, I would certainly agree with that. You can see there is a catafalque of a medieval knight. This is lying down in the position of the dead. The swords are hung up, and everything is quiet. Now, the keynote of this could be that, let's say, if we now contrast this with the previous card, the magician is there, holding up his wand, having the instruments of the elements in front of him, and he's trying to do magic, trying to do magical change. But the crossing card is trying to slow him down.
Yeah.
It says, oh, okay, magician, no, not so fast. No, 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 you know, we got to do it more quietly, we've got to go more slowly, and things of that sort. So I think what we have here are the powers of an energetic activity and change, and at least their attempted slowing down, putting on the brakes on the part of other forces, and that's the way it so often is in life, you know, everywhere, in our households or elsewhere. You have a man and wife, you know, she's trying to do something and he says no. He's trying to do something and she says no. The energetic action is almost always accompanied by a counteraction that has the effect of slowing it down. So I suppose we could go on to the next one now, the card below, if I'm not mistaken.
In the remoter past.
Yeah.
And from the suit of wands, it is the two.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, let me throw in a word or two about the position of the card in the spread, because that's very important. This card indicates the past, and actually more the remote past. So the past extending for a considerable period of time. And then the next card will be the more recent past. So I would say this is one of the names of the Two of Wands is the card of established strength. So I would say at the same time there is a static quality to it in certain ways. So I would say that this indicates that there was a sort of outward-looking, forward-looking attitude and a stabilizing, maybe attempted stabilizing in certain ways, accompanied by others that characterized the past. And as always, the card of the distant past also indicates some forces that upon which the further developments then are based, because it's the basis of the Celtic cross. So a fairly stable kind of attitude, no war, no boots on the ground. I'm making it a little too contemporary. That kind of thing was at the basis of a few past years anyway. But then there came the more recent past, which is probably different from that. Yes, Charles?
Well, it also it's kind of thoughtfulness and
yes.
How do I put it, decision-making, or leading toward decision-making, pensiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the further past, and again, remember, we're dealing with the country as a whole. So, I would say what this is telling us is that in the somewhat remoter past, a year or two ago perhaps, there was a great deal of thought going on about which direction the country should go in, what we should do with ourselves, and so on. But again, from a position of strength, not desperation. I don't know. Let's see the immediate past.
Yes, yes. You see, the symbolism of the card indicates, as you say, reflection and pensiveness and no wild haste. And he's contemplating the globe, which is sort of also indicates so looking at the world and the developments in the world and say, oh dear, look what's going on over there. What can we do about it? And not a great deal about it.
Yeah, and if anything, because it, again, it's not a card of pressured decision making.
Mm-hmm.
It's a card of careful contemplation. But that was then. This is now.
And then we will go now into the card behind, which is often called the card of the more recent past.
From the suit of cups, the queen.
Uh-huh.
The Lord.
Well, no, it's not Hillary Clinton, thank you. I thought I'd shoot that down straight away. But it is definitely, though, a card of feminine control of emotions.
Yeah.
Because the cups are the suite that deal with the emotions. Queens, of course, are always... They're powerful cards, but in what we used to call back when we only had two genders, feminine control. And according to this, I would say that the country was very much a question of the recent past. The country being very emotional, trying to perhaps get control of herself. I don't know, I suddenly thought of Elizabeth Taylor and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, but don't think about that.
Yeah, I would certainly again concur with that. And so if you see the if you contrast the remote past, the more remote past with the more recent past, then definitely you can see that there is a shift from what in the good old days, before everything became transgendered and so forth, used to be called masculine and feminine, because one is a more masculine card and the queen is definitely a feminine card. So that the emphasis has moved, just as Charles said, it has moved from this sort of solid, reflective kind of strength to emotion, to emotional power, to being governed by feelings and by trying to discover, I would even say trying to discover something important by way of feeling, by way of emotional energy, by way of passion. Why? Because, and I don't want to go into all kinds of symbolism here, but the queen holds a curious object which a lot of Tarot scholars have considered it to be the Grail, or at least something of that sort, a precious covered chalice. So I would say that in the more recent past, much of the tendency in the country has turned toward trying to do things, trying to accomplish things by largely emotional means. And so a movement from a kind of more thinking function to a more feeling function attitude, as we would say it in Jungian psychology.
And I would add further that partly because, and again, this is simply one's own intuition, whatever decision we were trying to come to, we weren't able to. Hmm. In other words, our method of dealing with it changed because the way we were doing with it just didn't work. So try something new. Which in everyday life, you know, if your thoughts and your intuitions don't work, sometimes you just go with your gut. So it would seem to me that the remote past, and that method of doing things perhaps didn't really serve us very well, so we tried something else in the immediate past. How well that served us is another question.
And I know this is really a little bit off the method of official interpretation, but just visually, when you look up there, you see these two queens. There is the significator with the Queen of Wands, and right off to her side is the Queen of Cups. Now, at least in my interpretation, the suit of wands is closely connected with intuition, which is sort of the most transcendental of the functions, that is the nearest to the transcendent function. And so you have the basic keynote, the underlying sort of keynote of the American psyche is intuitive. Not only now, but and I've been here a long, long time observing it, and I think the American people are very intuitive people. And so the intuitive keynote is there, but now a kind of a really strong and active emotional energy is added to it, and then one wonders where that is going to lead, and maybe we will now soon see what it leads to, because now, friends, we are beginning to move into the future, because that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. Said the Hollywood prophet Criswell years ago.
And if Criswell were here tonight, he would say precisely the same thing.
Yeah, he would. He often didn't say much new.
Not much, new material.
Okay, so that is it. It's now we are seeing the near future.
From the Major Arcanum, the card of judgment.
There. Gabriel is blowing, and the dead are raising from their graves. Very nice card. I'll let Cousin Charles interpret it over here.
Well, Those of you who have seen the zombie apocalypse pictures.
Oh, zombie apocalypse.
No, there won't be a zombie apocalypse, I don't think. But this is definitely, there's a connection to the magician. They're both major arcana. They'll be settling in stores. There'll be chickens coming home to roost. Gabriel, blow your horn. In the next few months, we'll see a lot of things that have already been in process come due, whether it be bills for the holiday spending, whatever. But things, there'll be a lot of things coming due. My suspicion, again, is that because it's a major arcana card, it's intimately connected to the magician. Despite the best efforts of the entombed to stay in the tomb, they shall rise out regardless and face the judge. Just on the face of it, I would say that the next few months will probably be very exciting. And I mean this in a very very inquirer kind of way. In the sense that don't be surprised if there are all sorts of revelations of things that none of us know anything about over the next few months. Not to want to get too particular or too political, but that often happens with changes in administration. Whatever the last band of mismanagers did, the current band of mismanagers make sure to expose for it. But it will be an exciting time. And yet, at the same time, because it's major arcana, transformative.
Oh, yeah.
Because this will not simply be a question of airing dirty linen. It'll be a question of our seeing things, perhaps, more clearly than we have done. Which is always unpleasant. But, at any rate, and without a doubt, those understandings, those realizations, will be part of the transformative process. We may feel differently about things than we do at the moment when we get other bits of information we didn't have before.
Well, since Cousin Charles gave us a blow-by-blow description of the card, I am sort of reminded of a song by the late and lamented Leonard Cohen, which went, if I remember correctly, "There's a mighty judgment coming, but I could be wrong." But that's what they told me in the Tower of Song. We always could be wrong, but it is definitely the card of the judgment, which is in some of the older decks is also called the Last Judgment. You know, it indicates the rising of forces, developments that appear to be dormant, and so in a sense you might say that perhaps a number of possibilities, a number of ideas that have been latent or dormant for quite some time would now become activated and would rise. Now, that doesn't mean that just because they are resurrected that they are going to succeed, but it means that there will be players again, they will be noticeable, they will be there, where previously that has not been the case. And once again, remember that a major arcanum, of which now we have two there, the magician and now the judgment, that these are, there is more to the meaning of those cards than anything purely mundane, so that they sort of reach into the depth of the psyche. In this case, perhaps the depth of the psyche of the nation. They are archetypal in nature. Their roots are are other than just temporary. There is definitely a relationship. There is the relationship between the covering card and all the other cards, but between the magician and the resurrection, it's almost as if the magician sort of starts the energies and then it continues with this sort of coming to life.
No, he waves his magic wand and the dead rise from their graves.
Yes.
And again, a lot whether or not that's a good thing depends a lot on the nature of the dead you interred.
Yes. Yes.
I would just say too that look for a lot of things. And again, when you resurrect the past, that can be good. It can be bad. But look for things perhaps that you haven't thought of in a long while to be in front of you again.
And things that you or society may have shuffled aside and buried, put under the rug, and they come out.
Vinyl records.
Yeah, vinyl records. Oh, that would be nice. I love those records.
See? They're going to be the big thing this year. You heard it here first. Should we go to the crown?
Mm-hmm. The next card is what is called the card that crowns, because it is at the top of the Celtic cross. And it indicates many things, among them the more distant future.
From the movie Zombie Apocalypse.
Uh-huh.
The card of death.
Oh!
Uh-huh.
Well. You know, what's funny is the consistency.
You're reborn.
Yeah.
You know, death.
You have severe transformation.
We've got to hasten to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, that despite what you've seen in the kinds of movies I watched when I was a kid, the death card almost never means death. But it does mean change and transformation. Now, this really hits me. The covering card is the magician. The immediate future is judgment. The further future this year
is death.
Is death. This is going to be one transformative year.
Yeah.
If those of you who like to stand pat, wherever you are right now, you just want right this second to last forever. No, it's not going to happen. That's amazing. That really is amazing. Have you ever seen? In a year's forecast, have you ever seen death as the year?
Well, my geriatric memory doesn't recall much, but I would say I haven't. I really can't remember this kind of a sequence, really hardly ever. However, there is, for those of my friends who are of the Gnostic persuasion, I want to remind them that there is a famous statement in one of the Gnostic scriptures that says that he who tries to resurrect after he died will not fare that well. You have to resurrect first and then die. And it would seem that this is happening. We have the resurrection, and then we have the death.
Then we have the death.
But don't ask me any further what that means. It's just a really wonderful metaphor that delights me. I don't know.
Some things, I remember one time a very good friend of mine came by Christmas Eve. After a few hours, went to go off to his own place. So we're standing on the front porch of my place, and this huge white owl, gigantic wingspread, flew straight toward us and then veered off. And we both had the feeling, wow, heavy omen.
But, heavy, heavy, man, but we don't know what it means.
Heavy anything.
But
here's the death card after the resurrection, as your friend says.
Well, without... without jest and without zombies, there was a zombie jamboree. You remember that? what one might possibly introduce there is that first of all there is the rising of many things, but that it's not only that, there is also a transforming.
Yeah.
Because the death is the death card is definitely the card of transformation from one state to another. And so it is not only that projects and forces and ideas that have been dormant will come to rise, but that there will also be a transformation, a transmogrification of many things. That we need to perhaps be prepared for both of these possibilities.
And it's really, honestly, all joking aside, I'm kind of excited just looking at it. Because it opens up the thought of so many possibilities. I don't know what they are, but it's really an astonishing concatenation of things, especially as a major arcana. But want to have a look at the subconscious, see what's going on under the surface.
And I can say that in my past experience, and there were many years when I dealt a great deal with the tarot, I have never in any reading, private or public, have I ever found the death card to be really bad. It's indicating change, indicating transformation, indicating some things that sort of need to die, but changing into something. So I would not consider it a
bad card at all.
A bad card at all.
It's not like the devil, which is never good.
Yeah.
I had a friend who, he wasn't really a friend, he was an acquaintance, but when I would read for him, he'd always want to have the devil as a significator. Now, I went along with it, but I thought, gee, what does he know about himself? I don't. But
what the hell was that about?
Yeah. Well, I thought maybe he was kind of a devilish fellow in private, but no, what it turned out, I finally couldn't take it anymore, and I said, why do you always want the devil as your significator? And he said, because if he's there, he's not going to turn up anywhere else.
He has some pretty smart friends. Yeah, in any way, that's not a bad way to go after the resurrection, yeah.
So
let's see now. What's hiding down there in the unconscious?
From the suit of swords, the young page.
Oh, there.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, that is a good card, especially when we talk about the national subconscious.
Oh, yeah.
Is a youthful, thoughtful, and a youthful mentality. Now, I don't want to say childish. But
energetic and feisty and
an air of newness of youth. I don't want to say it's morning in America. We've heard that like 40 years ago, but it does it shows a subconscious that is very very alert, very feisty, as you say, very youthful. Which, with all that transformation, so it kind of makes sense.
Yes. Once again, just a little about the position, about the location of the card. This is often called, this is the card that is below. And the way that is usually interpreted nowadays, it is below the threshold of consciousness, below the threshold of awareness. But then we know from psychology that below the threshold of consciousness there is an immense amount of stuff. So why is this there? Well, it is that element below the threshold of consciousness which is asking for recognition, which is coming up like the tip of the iceberg. It is moving into consciousness. So this is a force that is entering with some determination and desire of its own into the conscious process. And as my colleague has pointed out here, especially in this position, it's not or bad card at all. Of course, it depends on what comes later. It just sort of means an energetic, feisty, and probably not very much a tried force. This is not something that has been out in the open for any length of time. That's why it is coming up. So this kind of thing can be hopeful, but if the next cards become somewhat dicey, then it may have sort of moved into unproductive areas. One cannot tell. But as it is and where it is, I think it's quite hopeful. And now we move on to what is called the card of the household. And we'll say something about what that means in a minute.
From the suit of swords, queen.
Aha. Uh-huh. So we go on with the sword. Aha. Uh-huh.
Four swords. We three queens of Orient are.
Yeah. I mean, it's three queens so far. Yeah.
Three queens. The again, feminine, but this time it has to do with the intellect, with the suit, mm-hmm. which the suit of swords is particularly conscious thought.
Too, thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. So, in the household, there's a lot of calculation. That is, people are thinking, measuring, looking. I've always found thought to be extremely extremely unproductive and exhausting. But,
oh, it gives you a headache.
You're not kidding.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it looks like there's a lot of it being done. It's a very... You see that she's it's an interesting card because there's also the sense of a bit of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
The swords have a point for a reason. So, for my part, I would say that right now, at this moment, in the country, there is a great deal of contentious thought, but it's not so much on the surface as sort of voce. In other words, there isn't a great deal of new theorizing being put out there, just a great deal of argumentation. Backing up existing arguments rather than coming up with new ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now first of all, it may be useful, since not everybody is that familiar with tarot spreads, to say a word or two about the position of the card, which is called the household. And that really indicates sort of the ongoing process of daily life. When you are reading for a person, well, then the household is their daily life, their family, their work, and things of that sort. Now, when you are talking about the household card for the country, that's a little bit different. I even had the feeling, and in this case I'll express it, that in a way what we have there is the page having matured into a queen. Because the page is a, well, he's a sort of, we sort of see, yeah, he's androgynous. We imagine him as a young man, but he is also androgynous, and so he easily could grow into the queen rather than into a knight. Or a king. And so we might say that once that element with the sword, the more, as pointed out, the more mental side, the more thinking side of things, but also possibly the more combative, the feisty side of things. Because they say the sword comes to a point. And if that point gets into you, then you don't feel so good. You know? So
get my point.
Yeah, get my point. Yeah. So that sort of a more mental side of the situation is likely to come up, and begin to affect actually the conduct of affairs on a daily basis in the country, which with all we only had one cup so far. So,
that's right.
But still, with the sort of very disparate elements of before, might be a useful thing. Once again, the sword also carries the symbolism that the sword of the tarot is a two-edged sword. So it can be useful and helpful, but it can also wound. So it just depends again which way it goes. But I have generally a positive feeling about it. So now we go on to
conscious.
Yeah, the conscious aspiration, envisioning things, and so forth.
From the major arcana, the Empress.
Oh, my word. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, I will just say this much and give it to you. Once again, I think it's important to remember the position of the card. This particular position has to do what, in this case, I would say, what the generality of the psyche of the nation aspires to. This is what we would like. This is the felt need that will be present. That's what the card indicates. Now, as to the content of it, I'll hand it over to my colleague here.
Well, the Empress, of course, again, is the card of power, but of the sort of power that we were once upon a time disposed to call feminine power. Now, what does this mean in this context? Well, control, power, I mean, let's put it this way. As a nation, we enjoy our power and our prestige, but I suspect we'd rather not have to fight for it. And this is very much a card of control without conflict.
Uh-huh.
So I suspect that the national aspiration is to take things in hand, but not fight over them. To have everything dealt with quietly, sotto voce, kindly, through persuasion, not through smacking people around. Enjoyable as that could be. But in tandem, though, with those other cards, it also gives the impression that the transformation, at least the national aspiration, is that the transformation be gentle. Mm-hmm. And be as powerful as you like, but as painless as possible.
Uh-huh.
We'll see if that happens. What would you say?
All right. Well, I would say that the Empress is certainly a figure worth aspiring to. She has the sign of Venus on her heart-formed shield. There is a lot of supportiveness and mellow kindness there, which, however, is combined with, as you say, with power, and not the kind of power that throws its weight around a lot, but that is there and that is important. So it's almost, if I may fantasize a little bit, that it is sort of Lady Liberty in repose. You see, she even looks a little bit like and she holds a curious scepter which looks like an ice cream cone, but you could imagine it as having to do with the torch of Lady Liberty. So, and this is what the national psyche will desire and would like to happen.
She also has a box of Valentine's chocolates.
Oh yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So I would say that is definitely a good card to have in that position, and yet one more major arcanum, which we will comment on that as we go on. And now we come to the penultimate, which was the big determining card last year. Yeah. Let's see what we get there now, the final card.
From the Suit of Cups, the Five.
Oh. Well, that's a bit of a downer.
Well, it could have been a lot worse. You know, sometimes transformation comes at an emotional cost.
Yeah. Now, first of all, again, let's keep in mind what that card means. Not the card so much, but in this case, the position. It is in a certain sense the culmination, the sort of summing up of the developments, where you say, well, I look at all of this thing there, all of these queens and so forth. So what does all of this add up to? What is the sum total? That's one meaning. And the other meaning is often more concrete, as it was in this last year, where it indicates the developments or the atmosphere or the or some sort of reaction to conditions or developments toward the end of the year. So one is general, the other one is chronological. Now I'll hand it back again to a colleague here.
Well, the Five of Cups, of course, is not a horribly bad card, but it is a sad one. It's a melancholic card, I guess, is the best way I can put it. You notice that he is contemplating the three spilled cups while ignoring the two that he has.
He's still behind him, yeah.
Yeah. So things aren't as bad as they seem. But how often do we do that in real life, ladies and gentlemen? We get very down over what we don't have and ignore what we do have. So, in looking at that, my suspicion, again, with everything else that's gone, I noticed too it's not a major arcanum.
No.
So, my suspicion is that the process that we'll be undergoing over this year will not be concluded. But by that time, perhaps the price of it will have become evident. And yet, it may be that the national mood is not happy with the price that's been paid to the point of ignoring whatever progress has actually been made, if any. And again, we're very like that in real life, you know, in our own personal lives, I mean to say. National life is real, sort of. We do tend to forget our blessings, you know, count them. We may feel by this time next year, or by December next year, by Christmas next year, whatever, we may feel that we've been through a lot and lost a lot. But what I find interesting, I might be getting ahead of myself here, but it just does jump out at me. There are no pentacles, no pentagrams. No,
that's right, yeah, we're coming to that, yeah.
So if we are feeling blue, it probably won't be for financial reasons.
Yeah, because there's no concern with the pentacles. It's not there, yeah.
No. The whole thing, it's on a higher plane, it's the major arcana, perhaps who we are as a people, who, you know, what we're about, what our national mission is, all these sorts of big issues that we don't really think about usually. These will possibly be coming to the fore over the next year. And it may be that we're not entirely happy with what we see. But it won't be a nuts and bolts concrete kind of thing, if you see what I'm saying. If there is a national malaise toward the end of the year, it will be one of mood, one of emotion. Again, it's cups. It will not really be based upon anything concrete, which is kind of a relief. I mean, it's one thing to feel bad about the way things are going. It's another one to be broke. So, but that's what hits me.
Yeah, it It has been my experience with that card that it's really not such a big deal.
No.
And what it really indicates is that there is a perception, a perception of loss. Oh dear, look at these three cups in front of me. Oh, there was really some good wine in there. Look where it went, you know, and so forth. But I still have resources which I'm not looking at. And once I turn around and they recognize that those resources are there, then I feel a lot better about the situation. So it's a card of subjective attitude to what is perceived as loss. So, you know, heaven knows how that works its way out in this situation. But it's, for instance, there is toward the end of the year, if we take it chronologically, and here I am, people are looking, oh dear, a spilled cup. Oh, there went Obamacare this year. Oh dear, dear, dear. And then I don't know what else went, you know. Like all the previous years, my Social Security was not raised, you know. And all of these tragic things that come to us. But on the other hand, when I turn around, all right, maybe I don't have Obamacare, but I still have my doctor, and I still have some insurance, so, you know, I guess I'll still make out. And this sort of thing, then you begin to see that it's not really as bad as that. Also, we need to consider that, and that what has already been mentioned, that with all these major arcana and court cards, that is just a card of the suit of cups. I don't think that it denotes anything very profound or very lasting.
No, mood more than an event.
Probably a mood more than an event. That's a very good expression. So now I think we've got to look a little more at the total situation. What one does sort of at the end like this, one counts how many cards of a particular suit and of the major arcana one has. So you already mentioned there is no card of the pentacles around.
Not one.
Now, under some conditions that could indicate a lack of physical resources, but within the context of all of this imagery, that's not the way it looks to me, but it's probably much more, as you said, that it's not something that is a matter of concern.
I don't mean to say that everyone's going to be wealthy this coming year, but, you know, some years the economy is a big consideration.
Yeah.
But my suspicion is this year, at the very least, it'll just go burbling along the way it did last year. The major things to consume our interest will be in other realms.
Yeah, that definitely seems that it would not be a matter of evident concern. So that's one. No pentacles. Now we have, of the suit of wands, we have two. We have the significator, and we have the distant past. So that's enough. I think the sort of intuitive element is there. In fact, an intuitive sort of reflective intuitive element is at the bottom of the developing cross, so that's a fairly good sign. Now, cups... We have, there is the queen.
The four, or the five, rather.
Yeah, and the five at the end. So we have two cups. We have two wands and we have two cups. Quite well balanced. And swords.
We have three.
We have the queen, we have the five, and the page. Yeah, so swords... Swords, we have a little more than the others. Now that could indicate several things. If we take the sword primarily in a psychological sense as thinking, then I would say that perhaps this year there would be inducement to thinking a little bit more than other years, and considering what an unthinking lot we are, that would be a heck of a good improvement. We could stand a little more thinking. You know, not only a little more, but a heck of a lot more, but it's not going to be that much. So there would be, I think there will be an inducement to be thinking, to be thoughtful. Well, how is this likely to work out? How am I to comport myself and adapt myself in this situation? And that, I think, would be a pretty big help. Now, have we gone through the suits now?
Well, we've gone through the suits.
Now we come to the major arcana. So, all right, we have
four.
We have death. We have resurrection. Two, empress and magician. Yeah. So we have four. So we have actually a larger number of major arcana than we have of any of the suits, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
That is correct.
So now, once again, sort of the question arises: what do major arcana mean in a spread? And in my experience, using the Jungian expression, they mean archetypal elements and archetypal forces. Now, what does that mean? It means elements of life which are more than mundane, which are more than ordinary in nature, which have a connection sort of with the deeper side of life. And so, for better or for worse, that kind of element would be present, and it would be something to pay attention to. So my feeling would be that if we as a people remain somewhat prosaic-minded and are looking for mundane and prosaic things, and if they become really important to us, then we're going to be unhappy. But if, on the other hand, we develop a sensitivity to the deeper side of things, then as time moves along and various events occur and various developments take place, we would have perhaps a greater opportunity than sometime to be in touch with the deeper and the greater and the ultimately more meaningful side of life than we may have been in past years. Now, I know that that is an optimistic assessment, but what's wrong with being optimistic now and then?
I would add, too, it looks to be taken as a totality, and bear in mind that there are four of the major arcana, and that they're all in a sort of transformative mode. It would seem to me that this coming year will be one of tremendous transformation in this country. Very possibly, much to my surprise, I'm by nature a pessimist, but it may very well be beneficial. Probably toward the end of the year, as often happens in periods of great change, you get a little bit tired of it. Mm-hmm. You know, not more. But it is, as you say, more of a mood than a real event. And my suspicion, given the powerful nature of the process that seems to be unleashed, this is far from complete at the end of the year. In other words, it's this is not a story that's just going to end with this coming year. If I were a guessing as opposed to a gambling man, I would guess that, well, I'll tell you honestly, if I were doing this for a person, I would, I'd read again using that outcome as a significator to try to get more clarity. But yeah, that wouldn't make any sense in this context. So I would just say that this coming year's story is not going to be very self-contained. I think it'll be an integral part of the next year's story.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it moves on. Mm-hmm.
It's not... So like this last reading, it was pretty complete. I mean, the tower at the end of the year says, okay, that's it, Happy
As
New Year.
As they say in Italian, finita la commedia.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Finita la commedia. Yeah. But this just says to me, stay tuned. But other than that last bit of the year, when we may be getting tired, we'll see a lot of changes this year. And despite the deep fears of those of us like me who are, as I say, a pessimist by nature, they may very well be great changes. You know, this is a country that can be infinitely surprising, both for good and for ill. So, why not? It doesn't hurt to be optimistic now and then.
Absolutely not, absolutely not. And so, I think that I pretty much concur with all of that. And I would say that it's understandable when you have that many major arcana jumping around, which really all kinds of promising things, all sorts of archetypal flashes that come forth. And then you sort of look down and you say, oh, well, with all of that promise of making America great, and here I am still in San Bernardino. You know? I mean, that's very depressing, you know, in spite of all the promises. So that kind of has to be kept in mind. But I would say it's all around... why?
Oh, well, that is definitely true, ladies and gentlemen. If you're from the Inland Empire, I don't care how transformed the country becomes.
That's right. Yeah, you're still going to be looking down at spilled milk.
Yeah, pretty much. No way.
So obviously that will be present. But I think on the whole, it looks looks quite promising. And also, especially for those who can feel the higher octaves of developments and of life, it would be interesting and somewhat exciting. That many major arcana, I think, makes for an exciting life in a deeper sense, and that I think is a great hope. So I hope that has been. Speaking of hope, I hope that has been somewhat informative to you. I think we are really too numerous who have too many questions. So I would say you'll have to address your questions to a higher power. And not to these little powers that we are here, see?
In case you're curious, that's symbolized by the stars there. On the screen. The other thing, the one last point I drop off on here is that I think this year's theme song should probably be "The Times They Are Changing."
Uh-huh.
So pull out that old Peter Paul and Mary vinyl and play it.
And don't forget, there's a mighty judgment coming.
Yeah. Comes the great notion.
I think it's. I hope they are not just wishful projections on my part. I'm sure they aren't, although there are always some there. I think it is a hopeful picture.
Yeah.
And hope is very, very important.
Not a bad thing at all.
No.
Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.